Lisa Phillips, Toby Devan Lewis, director. Chris Burden, who came to prominence after 1970, is one of our most important American artists. From his epoch-defining early performances to his later monumental sculptures, Burden has consistently put physical and psychological limits to the test, redefining art in the process. Chris Burden Extreme Measures is the artist's first solo museum exhibition in New York and the first survey of his work in the United States in over 25 years. The exhibition features a selection of Burden's work over a 40-year career and traversing various mediums where weights and measures, boundaries and constraints are in constant flux and tension. The exhibition encompasses all five floors of the museum, as well as the exterior of the building, where three iconic sculptures reconfigure the visual landscape of downtown. Many of the works are complicated, labor-intensive affairs requiring thousands of man-hours and maniacal, obsessive focus. There is a 1970s Porsche balanced by a meteorite. There's a 1968 Benelli motorcycle that spins a 6,000-pound cast iron flywheel at 200 RPMs. There's a 30-foot sailboat that is suspended off the facade of the museum, and 100 gold bars stacked in a pyramid. The fact that this exhibition is long overdue has a lot to do with Burden's practice, his consistent and rigorous testing of the viewer, of himself, and of institutions. The risks are high and the challenges are very daunting. But the exhibition offers an extraordinary opportunity to examine the ways in which Burden has continuously investigated the breaking point of materials, institutions, and even himself.
Joshua Edwards, Director of Exhibitions Management here at the New Museum, and we're talking about The Ghost Ship from 2005, a Chris Burden piece which we have been lucky enough to have on the exterior of our building. The Ghost Ship is a component from a performance that the artist did in 2005, in which he had commissioned the production by some craftsmen to make a 30-foot handmade six-urn sailboat. The reason why it's called a six-urn is actually it's all handmade. There's actually no kind of drawings that are kind of involved with it at all. Each component gets built on top of the next, and so you have a complete ship. It's actually a very historical ship in how it's produced, but then the insides are all very technological. There's a series of computer components and GPS units that actually the Ghost Ship will actually sail itself, thus the name Ghost Ship. So Ghost Ship is about 4,000 pounds, and it posed a lot of very interesting engineering challenges and engineering problems to really support this on the side of the building. We had to work with, again, architects and engineers and some riggers to actually design the outrigger structures and the connection points that would actually hold the ship onto the side of the building. And an interesting connection that I think we've kind of figured out throughout the process was that, you know, a ship is designed to support itself throughout any type of weather or hurricanes on the open ocean. And it's a common term that we use a lot whenever we do kind of engineer things on the side of the building for the skyscrapers or any other structures, that things have to survive hurricane force winds. And I do think it's interesting that the ship, as well as the supports that are holding the ship, actually fall under the same nautical requirements. For the new museum's installation of the Ghost Ship, it's a totally different context than what the artist had originally intended. It's not just out of water, but it's actually suspended in the air and kind of really calls into question kind of what is the nature of that piece now after this performance has happened. For more information about the performance and the journey that it actually has done previously, you can find that information in the lobby on the interactive website.
Joshua Edwards, and I'm the Director of Exhibitions Management here at the New Museum of Contemporary Art, and I will be talking about two small skyscrapers, quasi-legal skyscrapers from 2003 and 2013. Two Small Skyscrapers is actually a new installation based on a previous sculpture that the artist had done called Quasi-Legal Skyscrapers. Each structure is 36 feet by 10 feet by 10 feet, and actually the dimensions are very important because that is the largest dimension you can possibly make in the state of California without going through the Department of Buildings. So for our version of small skyscrapers, the problems of location became a lot harder than actually just showing them on the ground. You know, We had to actually put them on top of the building. But the problem is that the top box of the museum is actually not really a box at all. It's actually just a faux box that covers water towers and heating units and heating elements. So for us, the problem was we actually had to develop a structure that would go on top of our structure that could actually support the sculptures. And we worked for that. We worked on that for about a year with various engineers, architects, rigging companies, and contracting companies to actually crane that into location. So when we actually built the sculptures, we actually worked with some representative from Chris's studio. It took us about 3 weeks. We put it together out in Long Island, and we actually had them shipped in. And due to the size of the pieces, but also the size of the cranes, we actually had to shut down various lanes of the Bowery. So in order to do that, the Department of Transportation actually made us come in and do that from about midnight to 6 a.m. over a course of a couple nights. So in my opinion, I think this piece is actually very appropriate as an introduction with it being on the exterior of the building and very appropriate for the title Extreme Measures because it really is the definition of that title. The buildings themselves, the size that they are, the dimensions that the artist has chosen, it is the extremity of the measure from the Department of Building of how big you can build. And I think it's very appropriate, not only for the show, but just as an introduction as you come upon to the museum.
Margot Norton, assistant curator at the New Museum. This is One Ton Truck, 2009. The One Ton Crane Truck is an artwork by Chris Burden, and the piece is composed of a fully functioning, recently restored 1964 F-350 Ford crane truck, and it holds a custom-made one-ton weight. It's a very important fact that the piece is fully functioning. The Porsche, which is also on the fourth floor of the museum, is also a restored vehicle that is fully functioning. And I think it's interesting that much attention has been made in this work to the details that go into the construction of the vehicle. There was, you know, a new coat of orange paint on the exterior, and the interior was also painted. And there's new oak on the bed and the headrest. New tires, new rubber bats, new seat covers, new headliner, new visors. And I think it's interesting because that is also talking about this outward display of power as opposed, and there's also, you know, the fact that the construction of the vehicle has this ability for power as well. And then with all the bells and whistles that I just described, this one-ton truck holding the one-ton weight equals 9,000 pounds in total.
Lisa Phillips, Toby Devan Lewis, director. A Tale of Two Cities, 1981. During 7 years in the 1970s, Burden completed close to 60 epic-defining performances. In these works, he used his own body as a sculptural form. By the end of the 70s, he had migrated his practice to sculpture on an immersive scale where the viewer's body became fully implicated in the work. A Tale of Two Cities is an early sculpture of Burden's that was made in 1981 and occupies almost half of this floor. It includes over 5,000 toy figures and model pieces, tons of sand, boulders from his home in Topanga Canyon, and live plants to create a spectacular sprawling tableau that depicts a large city-state at war with a small city-state. The massive scale of this work takes the child's landscape of war games to an absurd dimension, and Burden originally intended viewers to see the battle evolve over time, with landscape activated by firecrackers and burning buildings, in a simulation of ongoing conflict. He imagined a future scenario where superpowers like the U.S. would be challenged by renegade states that have access to stronger and stronger weapons. And he had in mind rogue leaders like Colonel Gaddafi, which uncannily predicts what would soon become a reality of our century. Tale of Two Cities may also be a commentary on the difference between New York and Los Angeles. Burden has lived and worked in Los Angeles for over 40 years, and there has been kind of long-standing competition and significant differences between the two places, with Los Angeles producing such a vital and vibrant artist community, of which Burden is a crucial part.
Massimiliano Gioni, Associate Director and Director of Exhibitions. All the Submarines in the United States of America, 1987. All the Submarines in the United States is one of Chris Burden's typical obsessive model sculptures. It's made of 652 miniature cardboard sculptures of submarines. Each sculpture represents actual submarines that were launched by the USA since the introduction of submarine in 1897 up to 1987, which was the year in which the piece was realized. It's a piece that connects to a series of sculptures and environments that Chris Burden constructed throughout its careers and that take as reference points toys and dioramas, and in general they transform the experience of playing toys, which is a typical children experience and possibly a typically male experience, into they transform such an experience into a scale that is slightly monomaniacal and obsessively repetitive in its compulsion. So it's as though an adult goes back to play with toy soldiers and does it with the obsession of a slightly disturbed human being. And it's as though Chris Burden has transformed the new museum itself into a diorama. The viewer goes throughout the show and makes and is fronted with continuous transformations of scale, from cars that are brought inside and motorcycles that are brought inside, to bridges that are at the same time smaller than real life bridges but bigger than traditional models, or the Tales of Two Cities that again plays with different scales, and by also presenting objects outside the museum, Chris Burden has successfully transformed the whole show into a sort of stroll within a model in which the viewer is treated almost as a test for or a creature in a labyrinth.
Lisa Phillips, Toby Devan Lewis, director. The power of materials is just as important as the power of institutional structures. And here we see the Beehive Bunker, which is a signature work of Burden's. The Beehive Bunker is a cone-shaped structure made by hand out of stacked bags of pre-mixed concrete and readily available at Home Depot or Lowe's, home supply stores. So here he has used 90-pound bags and 50-pound bags in a conical stacked structure with six openings for the occupant to fire weapons. It's a defensive structure, it's handmade, it's very low-tech, it doesn't require any special equipment, and is extremely solid and very practical. It's also a beautiful form. So it has a kind of minimalist form to it, but it also references this defensive military structure. And Burden has one of these erected on his property in California. It's up high on a hill. It's the first thing you see when you arrive. And it to me, is a kind of self-portrait of the artist. It's very solid. It's very precise. It has a lot to do with gravity, with weight, but it's also, you know, protecting its inner core. It's also very practical in that the form itself deflects bullets better than a rectilinear structure would, and it's extremely sturdy against incoming fire or wind and other forces.
I'm Johanna Burton,
Keith Herring, Director and Curator of Education and Public Engagement at the New Museum. And speaking about LAPD uniforms from 1994, 30 uniforms equipped with the full scale of what a police officer's uniform consists of, a badge, a belt, baton, handcuff, bullets, and a 92F Beretta handgun. The difference, though, between the uniforms that you see and those that you would find on a police officer is that these are 7 feet tall. Viewed from far away, they look perfectly normal, but as you approach the uniforms, you realize that they are larger than life. While Burden didn't explicitly link this to any particular moment historically, one cannot help but think about the fact that these were made immediately in the wake of the LA riots, which famously happened after the acquittal of 6 police officers who brutally beat the African-American Rodney King in 1992.
On the third floor of the New Museum are examples of different bridge models by Chris Burden. And each bridge uses different materials and methods of construction. Chris Burden studied architecture and physics in college before deciding to focus on visual arts. And his father was an engineer, and he inherited a fascination with engineering and different marvels of engineering, such as bridges, as well as vehicles, weapons, and war machines. And with this fascination, he was also constantly aware of the ego-driven tendencies that are latent in engineering pursuits, and the potential for greatness as well as destruction that they hold. These bridges were created through intense study, testing, intuitive problem solving, and he learned to make these structures by himself. The first bridge you see when you exit the floor is called Mexican Bridge, and this was a bridge that has always haunted him and fascinated him, and he saw it in a book about Mexican railroads. It was this bridge with these great reverse serpentine arches that were designed in the 1860s but never built, and they were made for the Mexican Railroad to go over a 1,000-wide gorge. And he studied the drawings of this bridge for years and years, and he wanted to make a reproduction of it. And before this bridge was created, he was working with Meccano and Erector Parts. The first bridge that he made was actually a small bridge that he made out of these toy parts in order to... These are like a kind of construction set that's given to children to learn engineering. And he used these toy parts in order to make a structure that could hold his own weight. And he made this small bridge, and it actually ended up holding 500 pounds. And the bridge itself was only 5 pounds. So he really became fascinated with, constructing these bridges and, all that goes into engineering them. And after working on several different bridge models, he decided to tackle this bridge, the Mexican Bridge, that he'd always been fascinated by. And he successfully built it. I am Margot Norton, assistant curator at the New Museum. Another piece that's included on this floor is the Tyne Bridge Kit from 2004. And in 2002, Chris Burden built a 31-foot-long replica of the actual Tyne River Bridge, which is located in Newcastle-upon-Tyne in Gateshead, England. The replica was built entirely from Meccano-type steel parts that were made to fit very specific specifications by the artist. And the parts were painted the same color as the Tyne Bridge. The brass nuts and bolts were also constructed to mimic those same ones that were used on the Tyne Bridge. As you can probably tell, Chris Burden is very keen on very specific measurements and all that, the color and all that goes into these works. And he sees the Tyne Bridge kit as the Tyne Bridge in condensed form and, effectively made an Erector set model of, his construction for the Tyne Bridge kit. Margot Norton, assistant curator at the New Museum, and this is Pair of Namur Mortars, 2013. One of the first things that you'll notice when you exit the elevators on the third floor of the museum are 2 very large cannons that are directed toward you when you exit the elevators. And one of the mortars, actually, when you walk through the first bridge, one of the mortars seems to be aimed at you as you walk through the bridge, and also at the bridge itself. This was a very intentional placement that Chris Burden put these mortars facing these bridges, because in traditional battle, the bridge is the first target that you aim for when starting a war. And these mortars are modeled after some 17th century mortars that are on view in the Tower of London. And they have been reproduced and fabricated as a set of two cannons. And there's 18-inch diameter, 200-pound cannonballs that accompany the mortars. These cannonballs are made of stone, and the idea is when they hit something, it almost produces a shrapnel that destroys more, even though the cannonballs themselves are only 200 pounds, which is not that heavy for a cannonball. They're able to go a very far range. There's a bell factory in England that's where cannons were originally made. And they make it according to the very archaic way of making a cannon, and basically mold it out of manure and goat hair, and then make the structure itself. And the mortars are about 12,000 pounds each, and the whole piece together with the cannonballs would be about 24,000 pounds.
Massimiliano Gioni, Associate Director and Director of Exhibitions, Tower of Power, 1985. Tower of Power is a relatively small sculpture, but one with very intricate and large implications. It consists of 101 kilo bars of pure gold, which are stacked in a sort of ziggurat formation on a slab of marble, around which a series of paper matchstick men seem to gather in adoration. It's a piece which is extremely complicated to prepare and assemble and present for obvious reasons. The value at the time of recording this audio guide of the gold displayed in the case is a little more than $4,250,000. And so every time that this piece is presented, it requires quite an effort to gather the 100 gold bars, which have either to be borrowed or anyway organized through a loan or a economic transition. In fact, the piece is so complicated that this is only the third time that it's ever been shown since it was conceived in 1985. It's a sculpture that maybe more directly than other pieces in the show deals with the idea of measures and standards. The value of gold fluctuates enormously, and so we have a very peculiar unit of measure, in this case the value of gold, that is not fixed. In fact, the idea of the limit, the idea of the measure is within the world of Chris Burden, constantly questioned and constantly pushed further. This is a piece that, as many other pieces by Chris Burden, poses a series of very deep ethical questions and pushes both the artist and the museum in a series of complicated exchanges and negotiation. On one hand, you have the artist that forces the institution to take responsibility for an object of great value and forces the institution, the museum, to change its function or to develop its function of safeguarding knowledge and economics and values to an extent that transformed the museum almost in the vault of a bank, and in such a way exposing the combination of economic forces and cultural interest that perhaps underlies every cultural institution in America and beyond. It is a piece in which Chris Burden anticipates what later would be called institutional critique, and that is the idea of using art to comment and criticize the museum from within. Other pieces that could be seen in relation to Tower of Power are Exposing the Foundation of the Museum, a piece from 1986 in which the artist literally dug a hole around a museum, exposing its foundations both literally and metaphorically. Massimiliano Gioni, Associate Director and Director of Exhibitions, Big Wheel, 1979. Big Wheel is a crucial piece for Chris Burden, as it marks the transition from his performance-based work to his sculptural work. Even in its functioning and in its construction, the piece seems to literally bring together mechanics, the body of the performer or the body of the person that uses the sculpture, and a sense of abstract force displayed in all its threatening power. The piece was realized in 1979, and it consists of a motorbike that is joined to a 3-ton, 6,000 pounds cast iron wheel. The motorbike is periodically turned on, and it's driven through its gears until it reaches its maximum speed. Eventually, the motorbike is switched off, and the big wheel keeps spinning for around 2 hours and a half, just running on the force that it's been transmitted to it by the motor bicycle. So it is an incredibly aggressive piece because it requires that an actual motorbike runs inside the museum, which makes it loud and confrontational, and one of the most radical, I think, experiences of kinetic sculpture within a museum. Like many of Burden's machines, this is a piece which at the same time celebrates the force and the power of mechanics, but at the same time he devoids it of any function. It makes the machine impotent. Marcel Duchamp, who is maybe a remote relative of Chris Burden, spoke of bachelor machines, of machines that were caught in onanistic behaviors, and so they were unproductive machines that were so self-absorbed that they became completely useless. And on many levels, the Big Wheel by Chris Burden is an example of a bachelor machine, of a machine that is caught in a circuit and displays power, but at the same time wastes power. And I think in this behavior, in a way, Chris Burden at the same time celebrates and criticizes from within the macho culture of America and the masculinity that often is associated with machines and engines.
Margot Norton, assistant curator at the New Museum, and this is Beam Drop. The first time Chris Burden performed Beam Drop was at Art Park in Lewiston, New York in the summer of 1984. And for this performance, he dropped about 60 very large I-beams onto wet cement from a large crane. And each beam, I think, they were varying sizes, but some of them were as long as 40 feet in length and weighed up to 2,000 pounds. And he had the crane drop them from about 100 feet high. And with this piece, Burden was interested in constructing a sculpture using I-beams, which are very minimalist materials, in the manner of an abstract expressionist, such as Jackson Pollock or John Cage, and using randomness to create the composition. And he was interested in the idea that the power of nature, the physical force of gravity itself, is the means by which the sculpture is created. There's certainly a sense of danger and unpredictability with this piece, as these tremendously heavy and large beams are dropped down from such a great height, almost like pickup sticks. And he was interested in using the I-beam in this playful and, you know, haphazard manner, unlike how they were traditionally used as this regimented architectural support system when they're used to construct buildings. After the first performance that he did in 1984, he also installed this piece at Inoteam in Brazil and at the Middelheim Museum in Antwerp, Belgium, where they remain sculptures in their large outdoor sculpture gardens. Footage from all three of the performances are shown together.
I'm Johanna Burton, Keith Herring, Director and Curator of Education and Public Engagement at the New Museum. On the fifth floor of the Chris Burden exhibition, we've amassed various items and materials that are related to the most famous of Burden's performance works. Because these are ephemeral works and Burden doesn't want to think about them as being overly spectacular or even trying to recreate anything around their experience or their environment, he prefers to think about them as discrete objects of inquiry for historical research. And so we've laid these out in such a way that you can literally study the history of his early performance work from 1971 to 1977. Among those performances that are documented through, as I say, very small amounts of photographic documentation and very modest video recordings are the five-day locker piece from 1971, in which he locked himself in a 2x2x3 foot locker at the University of Irvine for 5 days with 5 gallons of water in the locker above him and an empty container below him, or into which he urinated. Before doing that piece, he ate very little and geared himself up much as one would do for a piece of meditation. Other works that are famous and are on view only in the binders that are assembled on the fifth floor is the 1971 piece Shoot, which was performed at F Space in Santa Ana, where a friend stood 15 feet away and shot him through the arm. Doorway to Heaven from 1973, in which the artist inserted 2 live wires into his chest, crossing them so they exploded, burning him but not electrocuting him. And Through the Night Softly from 1973, where the artist crawled nearly naked with his arms behind his back through 50 feet of broken glass. Also available on the floor is a small cubicle where you can sit and listen to an interview from the BBC with Chris Burden talking about Shoot and how it has informed the artist historically and how he thinks about it now.